Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Tuesday, August 12th. Today's session is entitled Lectio Divina, the Rediscovery of Contemplation, presented by Jerry Aker. Let's listen in.
When you asked the question, I thought of time of day, and I guess at night, you know, although I have to admit, I've gotten this bad habit of listening to the radio to hear all the news about the war in Iraq at night. It's become, and it's blocking out my prayer time. You know, it's just, I like to kind of just lie there in silence. And I've tried, and I pray with my son before he goes to bed. So, yeah. And then in groups, you know, on Sunday and whatnot.
I find one of those things, like, if you don't do it first thing in the morning, it doesn't get done. Or in the morning routine, you know, before you go out the door. And then I have the crisis ones, or the spur of the moment ones. And then we have a kind of a somewhat unsettled family prayer life. Parental differences.
Our children are 13 and 15.
Compounded by infant differences, children differences.
Uh-huh.
But we've had a fine prayer episodes, you could say, by going to Teze.
Okay.
And being around Teze type worship sometimes.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Well, I don't want to steal the lesson.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Teze is a very contemplative, it comes out of Teze in France. It's
you know some of the songs.
I do know that.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
There's a couple in the blue hymn book. Are you,
okay.
Are you with one voice person?
It's an ecumenical
Is it? Yeah.
Community, I think.
Maybe.
It's,
yeah.
it's sort of a monastery. I haven't been there, but
yeah.
Lots of people. It draws thousands of youth every year.
Right.
It's just incredible. But why don't you share your...
Well, you know, I'm in the same...
Family.
So... I think the most consistent thing I do is I try to get in there and say prayers with my son before he goes to sleep. And not with my daughter anymore. I used to, but she sort of wanted to back off, so I thought, well, let's just leave that. And as for my own, it's just kind of catch-as-catch-can, really. But maybe sometimes if I just think about something during the day, or... there's no set time.
Yeah, well, I know what you're talking about when you talked about family, because when my kids were, they went to a church-related school at one point for a couple of years, and we were having family devotions, and my son, who was quite young at that time, said, I get this at school, and I'm not going to do it at home, too.
Mm-hmm.
But... this, the other thing, I find that prayer is such an intimate thing that it's very seldom shared with your most intimate partner. I was in a group a couple of years ago and we were exploring spiritual practices and prayer. And I asked priests, Episcopal priests that were in that group, do you pray with your spouse? And, you know, not a one of them did. And it just... I thought, wow, that's really something, because what does that mean? Does that mean that it's so intimate that you can't even share? I mean, that you don't share it. And since that time, my wife and I are very comfortable. We always have prayer together in the morning at breakfast, and I think having a regular time is a good practice, because, and early in the morning for me. But this is a session on Lectio Divina, and this is a method that is centuries old of praying the scriptures. And this is the best book I've found on it. It's in the bookstore. Too Deep for Words, which of course comes out of Romans, where Paul says that I don't even know how to pray. It's like the Spirit is groaning within me, and so we just allow the Spirit to pray within us, because idea that many people have a prayer is that you have to verbalize it or you have to mentally think about it. So there's verbal prayer said out loud, or mental prayer is, you know, every time I sit down and pray, then I have to be thinking of phrases, intercessions, petitions, alleluias, and so forth. But Lectio Divina lets the Word of God speak to us through the Word. And you don't have to think about it. In fact, you're encouraged not to think about it. And it ends up with this progression, which isn't always a natural progression. You may go back and forth between this, but Lectio means reading, and it really means listening. So the Lectio should be slow, it shouldn't be a long portion, and you're not reading the Word to study it. You're not reading the Word to analyze it at that point. You're reading it so that it speaks to your heart. The meditatio, in the tradition of the Christian tradition, and using this particular terminology, this means the reflection. It stimulates something in us so that we do use our intellect, our mind, our experience to let it work inside of us. But it's a reflective thing there. And again, it's not that we're... I think a lot of pastors are trained so intensely in the seminary to analyze and to study the Bible that they miss this part of just relaxing and reflecting and see the application. What is the application of this? The oratio follows naturally. Oratio is the prayer. And again, this might end up that the meditation brings up things that, well, it passes through your mind, so it becomes a prayer. This is what's going on. And if you've said to people, or people have said to you, well, I'll pray for you, you've heard that. Mm-hmm. That's a very big burden you're taking on yourself, because most people that I know, myself included, actually forget to pray for who they said they pray for, you know. You tend to do that after a while. So the whole idea of oratio is that if it settles in your heart, you take and pray, and the deepest desires of your heart are actually a prayer. And so whatever you said, whoever you said that you are going to pray for, that sort of gets incorporated into your prayer at that time. Even though you may not remember right then, oh, I forgot to pray for so-and-so who's got cancer, and I told them 3 weeks ago that I prayed for him, and I forgot about that. That, you know, that kind of doesn't become so much an issue. And then contemplatio is really settling into a rest in God. And there you, there is where a lot of people have problem, but it is often described as similar to the feeling or the experience that you have when you're sitting at the top of the mountain and you're just taking it in. You don't have to think about it. It's just there. God is with you. And it's restful. And to do this in group, it's a very good experience, I found, and it's a different way of prayer. But it comes out of the Benedictine monastery, you know, Benedictine experience, tradition. And St. Benedict, of course, they read the office every day, and they do a tremendous amount of reading of psalms and all of that kind of thing. But this simple method, I find this very helpful, because Thelma Hall gives me Bible readings, scripture readings, on 50 different subjects, so I don't have to try to remember it. Okay, I'm feeling that I need to pray something about faith right now. Well, she's got a section here on page 72, Bible readings that would refer to faith. And there's something from Luke and Matthew and Romans and 1 John and Mark and Isaiah. And I just skim through that, and something might settle for me, and I say, okay, I'm going to use that today. And that's what I do personally. This is something. well-used book in my part, because I don't remember, I'm not good at remembering where Bible verses are, but this really helps me. There's one, you know, there's on faith, true self, following the Lord, forgiveness, the call, God calls us to listen, God's loving concern, joy, hearing God's word, and so forth. So I find this very helpful. I've used group Lectio Divina, and the way this would work is that we'll just read through a short scripture, but we read it slowly, and you probably should just close your eyes and don't read it in the Bible at the same time, and take it in, and we'll read it twice at least, and ideally in two different voices, a male and a female, because then you hear it different ways. And after we read it through the first time, slowly, just see which word or phrase just sort of settles in your heart. And that's an indication that the Spirit is praying that particular word or phrase from the Scripture in your heart. And we each repeat that. We don't talk about it, we don't analyze it, just repeat that word or phrase. Then we'll read it through again. We have a minute of reflection, of meditation, in silence, and then we'll share a little bit about where that comes from for you. And that may lead to your application. It might then lead into, well, how does that apply to my life? And that becomes sort of our prayer. And if it feels right, we'll end up with kind of resting in that with a few minutes of silence. And that's all there's to it. It's a fairly simple method. So I'll read it first. And I chose, because I was thinking today during the day about what I like. Psalm 121, for instance, I lift up my eyes unto the hills. And I like Isaiah 65, the vision of the new Jerusalem and the new world, God's vision for the world. But we've been thinking, at least I've been in a lot of these sessions where I've been thinking so much about these heavy subjects, I thought I would pick something that is more restful and settles us at the end of a day that's been active. So I picked Psalm 131. So I invite you, in most tradition, or most prayer traditions, East and West, we're encouraged to be alert, not to slouch, but to sit with our back straight, feet on the ground, you don't have to, but and close your eyes gently, and just listen to this word. Trying through, I'll ask, yes, Marian, to read it slowly as well. But after I read it, let's have just each person say the word or phrase that comes to mind. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. My heart is not proud. have settled in your heart?
Child?
Soul, like a weaned child.
A weaned child. Quiet. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord now, both now and forevermore.
So let that go through your mind for a minute in silence, and we might share where that speaks to us. Patience and humility, because I've always been an activist, and I think in the role that I see myself in now is to back off and realize that I don't have to be about such huge things that I can still try to be following God, following the Spirit without being haughty or being upfront. So humility is a constant, or patience is a constant prayer for me.
Things that are to do with not worrying. So, and I think that it's partly the way I grew up, and partly just being a mom. And I'm thinking two or three steps ahead of each child, and trying to make sure we're ready for that, or that we're kind of there for them, and the things that I choose seem to be reminding me that I'm a child and that I don't have to worry about all of that, especially the last line, now and forevermore. So it's reassuring for me as a mother to remember that I'm not kind of controlling everything the way I sometimes feel as if I should.
Really speaking to me about aging, And not the first time I heard it, but the second time. And it reminded me of a prayer that I've been meaning to pray for my grandfather, who's aging, and who had, you know, he, like you're saying, done big things, and now is retreating.
The weak child thing struck me as a sort of an affirmation of what I usually count as a deficit, which is the fact that, kind of as a professional Christian, you fault, if you go on without refueling your tanks, you sort of fault yourself for not stopping to fuel up. But this was sort of an affirmation that, yeah, you are weak, that's okay, now let's start from there.
The idea of resting on the, I think one of the versions is at the, maybe at the breast or the infant at the breast, or resting in the lap of the mother, is really a restful kind of thing, that I'm in the hands of God.
Weaned but not abandoned.
Right.
Weaned but still embraced.
Any other prayer that comes out of that for you?
It goes a long way in a few words. Real confirmation.
I was in a retreat once, which had to do, it was out in Baltimore actually, at a retreat center, and I find that there are very few times, even when we have silence, that there's really silence. There isn't silence around here, you know. We just heard. So, but that's all right, you know. Every time some noise comes through or something like that, it shouldn't distract us from our prayer. But there are a few times in life that I've found, and I can almost count it on my finger, that it is a deep silence, a contemplative silence with others. And it happened, there was a 30 of us, and it got so silent, so quiet, that it was just amazing. And to have silence together with other people, not just yourself, is an amazing experience. I don't know what it is about it. And then people were putting things, maybe something, writing or something, on in the center in one of those exercises, and then they left. And I had been thinking, I'd read this psalm just before that, deep silence, and I was reflecting on it. And I got up and I walked to the center and I looked at a little piece of paper, and somebody else had written that same psalm there. So we were so deeply in tune with each other's prayer. I don't know who it was. It was just an amazing experience. So the resting, that contemplatio part, happens, but you can't predict that it'll happen all the time. It won't necessarily happen for you. In fact, one author that I read said that he's worked with nuns who live in, you know, vowed communities, and he said it isn't very frequent that even the nuns have a deep sense of that union experience of contemplatio. I was surprised to read that. But anyway, I'm just commenting on the process now. I didn't want to deviate from the prayer itself, but it is the idea of resting in God and letting the Word pray itself inside of us. And I think we've heard a couple of examples. Do you have any example of what your reflection was?
Well, I just kept thinking, quiet my soul, and it made me think about the fact that my life is full of other ways I have to be in order to do the things I value. And that sometimes I forget that quiet is where I'm strongest.
reflecting, as you see, Emily, on praying the scripture or letting the scripture pray itself in us. Do you have any thoughts or experience with that?
I'll hold off for a while.
Okay. The premise of letting the scripture pray, like you said, or you've already said that,
yeah.
I mean, that's like a fork in the road right away from what you normally do, where you,
yeah.
you grow up trying to articulate. And so many church services honor and give huge space for prayer almost as a demonstration. Mm-hmm. Something that, you know, some people do well and some people don't do at all.
Yeah.
And this is accessible to everybody.
And the hard thing to get across or to accept really is that doing nothing can be prayer. It can be the deepest prayer. And we're such activists that we can't quiet our mind enough to accept that. Because it keeps coming back to me that so much of prayer is asking God for things. Mm-hmm. You know, hounding God for petitions and not taking the time to listen to God. And that's part of communication. Because prayer is communication, is communion with God. And union with God, so.
Yeah, you're so right about there being so many things in our brain that take up space and crowd out prayer, that having a scripture to reflect on fills up that space, you know, and you know you're not working so hard at, you know, stop thinking about it. Stop thinking.
And for activist Christians, who I think most Holden people probably are, you know, they're really service-oriented, want to do something. I'm reminded of what Thomas Merton said about the balance and the interplay between contemplation and action. And he likened it to the spring and the stream. And the spring is contemplation. Contemplation feeds the stream, which is our action. It just keeps flowing. But if you don't go back to the spring, your stream might dry up or it's not fed by the right, you know, source. I just would like to get any feedback or ideas or opinions on whether or not you think this might be a method that's applicable in your own prayer life or with a group that you're with or your church or application.
I think it's worth mentioning Tepe again because
that's what I was thinking.
You know, I think I heard about this in a college religion course or something 50 years ago, but first time we went to Teze, you know, there's only three ingredients. There's simple songs, about 10 words a piece, repeated.
Mm-hmm.
Short Bible readings in about 19 languages. So you hear it over and again, but it's in Latin. I mean, not Latin, German, Polish, Spanish, English, French, Tamil, something like that. And then silence. And I think when thousands of people, literally at Easter, there can be 15,000 people who are silent.
Except for coughing from time to time.
Yeah, it's spring and it's wet and people cough. But I even noticed that the cough.
Were you there?
Yeah, about six Easters in a row. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Because we lived in Geneva.
Yeah.
So, Tese is about
2 hours
away.
Okay. Even the coughing would die down.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that it's actually probably more important than we can even imagine, the way that silence, consentful silence, whatever you call it, is much more powerful than I'm going to go in this room and I'm going to be silent. Because you just, you're like, you're carried along by the fact that everybody else is trying to do what you're trying to do, or not. But I struggled with the repetition, this is really like mind control. But then I thought, look at the junk I fill my own brain with. Why not fill it with some of God's word?
Right.
And after I thought that, it was that. Then I relaxed. People just stay on. 2 hours, 3 hours. Sometimes one worship almost runs on and the next one starts 6 hours later or something. There's still people praying around these little candles. And so there's a real, it's like this method by immersion.
The repetition of a single prayer, of course, you know what the Jesus prayer is, and that's a repetition that, you know, the Desert Father, or the mystics recommended. Which is, Lord, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Living God, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. And in the Orthodox tradition, that's very common to recommend that. And I was just reading Henry Nouwen's book on this, the prayer of the heart, and how you move this down from your head into your heart. And that he recommends for the prayer of the heart short prayers, and pray without ceasing, which means sort of throughout the day this keeps coming into you, and includes everything. When it moves into your heart, that's what we were saying a little bit earlier about when we say we're going to do intercessory prayer. You can't possibly remember that long prayer list. So the prayer of the heart is kind of, well, it includes everything.
That it appeals to me to have a little more to chew on than the one verse at Teze. I mean, one verse is fine too, you know, for a while, but there was a lot of richness in what we read, and you can sort of hop to one or two if it's in front of your face, you know, have the possibility to.
Right. And if you hear it several times.
Yeah.
I think you said the second time you heard it, something struck and that
generated
a
totally
chair.
Different. I was thinking of like my child the first time. Then the second time I just went to the other end of the spectrum. I thought of someone I know who was aging. Yeah. It was very interesting. You know, I think about this and young people because there's so much activity and, you know, media and that our young people don't have the opportunity and maybe are not, but I'm kind of wondering how do you introduce this to a young person so that it doesn't seem like such a foreign activity, you know, because I can't think of any time, like in a normal school day or a normal day, that you're ever silent when you're, you know, an American kid.
I heard of experiments where they actually did work.
Prayers before bedtime.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems the best time to quiet a child.
It's interesting that we pray and teach our children to pray before bedtime. When there's one thing that then each of us has said, well, we forget to pray ourselves.
Right.
So we teach the habit, but we don't do the habit. You know? So, any other comments or questions about? I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Mike.
Mike? Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts? Do you have any thoughts to share?
they're really fresh right now. We stopped at some relatives on the way here. And I can see these two young, there's
had a, I guess it was a TV screen playing those kind of games you can play like that. I don't even know how to set it up. I don't play it, but I was thinking when she was thinking about introducing the children the idea of prayer. I think we're going to have to get somewhere near that screen, but I haven't got the slightest idea how to do that.
Turn it off. It's one way.
Well, then you're putting them in a position of being defensive, and that's not a very good way to start with prayer and praying. I don't really know. I mean, there's a lot of the language we use with prayer are out of step, and I don't know whether we decided we want to go on and build a new set of things or another vocabulary in conjunction with the word prayer. I'm not sure. I don't have it. Maybe think about it.
Well, thank you, and I think it's a good practice. It's really special if you can have a small group or a larger group to do it with. I mean, that's a privilege to pray with other people in this way or anyway, I think. But most people are very, have this little tape with Joseph or people talking about prayer. It's put out the ELCA for the women's, ever seen that, about spiritual practices. And there are comments on there about how how intimate or how people will not talk about their prayer life and they don't like to. They're embarrassed by prayer. To say such a thing as I'm praying or such in certain parts of our country. If you get into the, I work a lot with Pentecostals in Central America, at the drop of the hat they pray. And it's all very loud. They don't know the concept of quietness, but we're trying to teach that to them, and they pick up on that, actually, because we use this method in villages in Guatemala and with staff that we work with, and reading through Isaiah 65, for instance, which is a vision of God for the world, and to read that, and they go through and they say there's things in there that says we will not build houses and other people live in it, we will not have, there will not be children born that don't live beyond 2 years, or people will grow old. And these phrases, these words, they just settle with people and they mean so much. And they just express them as prayers. Okay, thank you. I think we'll call it a session. Thank you for coming at the end of a busy day.
I have a question.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Right. If you bring in the modern day reality, it's the same thing in that Isaiah passage. It's the New Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Can you just substitute, something else? Yeah. Substitute to your place. Or
well, is it, okay, I do. Is it just generally kind of my people?
That's what it was. Somebody in the
Psalm journal, if you think of it.
Okay, it's funny that
it's
not appropriate to the reading, but it distracts me.
It is.
It's
three lines.
Okay.
What time is it? 7:30?
I especially like Ruby Fireside. Yeah. Oh, that's neat. Thank you.
I wonder if they have a tape of Taizé music up here. I haven't looked. I mean, a CD.
Yeah.
If you're interested, you might look up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing I was thinking was, I'm not sure how long your sessions are, but they do have that.